The leaders of the civil rights movement not only demanded equal rights for black America, they expected it. One of those leaders was named Bayard Rustin. Historian John DeMillo is the author of the book called Lost Prophet, The Life and Times of Bayard Rustin. DeMillo says Rustin was a pivotal figure in the civil rights movement, but he's been virtually erased by history.
He's incredibly important in terms of the movements for peace and social justice in post-World War II America. More than anybody else, he's the one who brings Gandhi and Gandhian ideas to the black civil rights struggle, things that we normally associate with Martin Luther King. He mentors Martin Luther King. But yet, whereas Martin Luther King is a name that every person alive in the United States knows, no one knows who Bayard Rustin is except hardcore pacifists and aficionados of the civil rights movement. And the reason for that is that Rustin had to figure out how to be an agitator for justice and work effectively without people noticing him, because he was a gay man living in an era when the constraints on that were so intense.
To make things unworkable. The only weapon we have is our bodies, and we need to tuck them in places so wheels don't turn.
Rustin grew up in southeastern Pennsylvania in really Quaker country, and his grandmother, who was the key person in his life, had worked in Quaker households, and so Quakerism was part of his environment. And by the time he was in his mid-20s, he actually began going to Quaker meetings very regularly. It suffused the way he looked at the world. There was a personal pacifism as well as a political pacifism that shaped his outlook. And when World War II came along, you know, most other Americans thought of it as a war that was eminently justified, and Bayard Rustin chose to go to jail rather than in any way cooperate with the military.
I'm a Quaker, and as everyone knows, Quakers for 300 years have, on conscientious grounds, been against participating in war.
Rustin often said that King was one of the most impressive figures he had ever met, that King had a power that Bayard had rarely encountered in another human. At the same time, it was a charismatic power that lacked the skills of community organizing, of knowing how to build a movement, how to create an organization, how to have a strategy of change as opposed to simply saying, march, people. And Rustin was the one who taught him about strategy and about organization and about movement building, and who acted as his point man in doing those sorts of things. And that's what Rustin brought to King when Rustin was in his mid-40s and King was still a very young minister in his mid-20s.
There are three ways to deal with injustice. One is to accept it slavishly, or one can resist it with arms, or one can use nonviolence. The man who believes in nonviolence is prepared to be harmed, to be crushed, but he will never crush others.
For a number of years, King just turned to Rustin. He would say, write me this article and I'll sign it, or yes, I'll meet with these people who can fundraise, or yes, this, yes, that, yes, the other thing. And for years, he didn't make an important decision without consulting Rustin, and Rustin made himself available. But Rustin always used to say that while King was very good at confronting, quote, the enemy, the segregationist, he was not very good at confronting turmoil within the ranks of the civil rights movement. So that when controversy would surround Rustin, when people would bring up at times his either radical background or his gayness, Martin Luther King would cave And there was this one critical moment in 1960 where Adam Clayton Powell, who was a congressman from Harlem, the most prominent African-American in national politics in the Democratic Party, was getting a little teed off, really, at Rustin's effort to exert influence, and especially in relationship to the Democratic Party. And Powell lets King know that if he doesn't get rid of Rustin as his assistant, Powell is going to start spreading rumors that King and Rustin are sexually involved. Well, King caved in, and here they had this really close relationship for like 5 years and then barely spoke to each other for another 2 years or 2.5 years.
I must walk my lonesome valley. I got to walk it for myself. Nobody else can walk it for me. I got to walk it for myself.
Strom Thurmond, who was, you know, he had run as a segregationist for president in 1948. In 1963, he is prepared to do anything to discredit the civil rights movement. And the March on Washington was the big upcoming event. He tried to discredit it by saying, oh, it's a bunch of communists who are doing it, and people yawned. And he then moved on to isolating Rustin, who at that point was known as really Mr. March on Washington. And he gets up on the Senate floor and reads into the congressional record Rustin's arrest record, reads from newspaper clippings in the Los Angeles papers from the 1950s about Rustin getting arrested.
The senator is not interested in me if I were a murderer, a thief, a liar, or a pervert. The senator is interested in attacking me because he is interested in destroying the movement. He will not get away with this.
We're marching on to freedom land. We're marching on to freedom land.
It becomes actually a turning point in Rustin's public career because the march was only like maybe 2 weeks away at that point, and it was too big an event. And so the civil rights establishment has to, for the first time, publicly defend Rustin because the alternative is to cave into Strom Thurmond, arch enemy of the community and the movement. And so it's the point at which the gay card is finally trumped in Rustin's life. It's now so public, and the movement has said, we don't care.
I now bring to you the executive director of the March on Washington, the man who organized this whole thing, Mr. Bayard Rustin.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first demand is that we have effective civil rights legislation, no compromise, no filibuster, and that it includes public accommodations, decent housing, integrated education, FAPC, and the right to vote. What do you say?
The thing to me that's so amazing about his life is that he comes from nowhere. You know, he's the illegitimate son of a teenage mother in a small provincial town, right? And he travels the globe. He organizes demonstrations on four continents. He moves among people who really do make history. Rustin is not a tragic figure. He rises from the ashes again and again. And especially if you look at pictures of him late in life, this guy was having a lot of fun. I mean, he had a good life. What is tragic for us as a nation, really, or as a people, is that the talents of this man could not be fully utilized in the way that they could have the biggest impact on history. The tragedy is the homophobia and the racism, but Rustin, you have to say, I mean, the guy never gave up.
John DeMillo is the author of the book called Lost Prophet, The Life and Times of Bayard Rustin. Rustin remained committed to racial equality and world peace until his death in 1987.
From every mountainside, let freedom ring!